Yes, our special music by Newborn, the official music for Sippy Talk. Today we are talking about angels.
The world was never bigger. Now I've attached to everything in front of us. But she lies inside my dreams.
Yes, to all the angels, welcome to Tippy Talk on Books I Love Today, where we talk about published books, published authors, as well as unpublished authors and wannabe authors. We also speak to readers and publishers and all things related to the written word. So if you have a story to tell and want to write it down in a book or an essay, you have come to the right place. If you have written a book and want to speak about it, this is it. Even if you read a book and you want to discuss it or speak to the author, you can also let us know and we will do our best to bring the author, of course, if the author is still alive. So this is where the written word will survive and thrive, where the authors get a chance to speak and the readers get to enjoy the written word, where publishers can find talent and display their found talent, because all of that we are doing because we know that books are the treasures that give us new ideas. They guide us when we're lost, and they go through centuries of wisdom and entertainment. And in the spirit of Books I Love, today's thought of the day is, have you scheduled yourself time to think? Think about that. Have you ever scheduled time to think? Because if you don't think about it before you do it, then you cannot possibly do it as well as you will if you thought about it before. And we have a really, really exciting show today with our guest, Milka Torbarina, who has got an amazing story. And not only does she have an amazing story to tell, she also wrote a book about it, so you can actually read much more than just what you hear over here. You can read her entire story. Milka was born in New York, and when she was first born, she lived in an apartment in Long Island City. The name of her book, which I also thought was really cute, is My Life Along the Long Island Expressway. And as they would say it in Brooklyn, along the Long Island Expressway. And so that's a story you definitely want to hear and you definitely want to tune into. Thank you so much, Milka, for joining us today. And welcome to Tippy Talk on Books I Love.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, Ms. Tippy.
I love the idea, the name of your book, only because it tells so much more than the regular title of every book. So before we talk about you, before we talk about anything else, is there a story behind the name of this book?
Absolutely. Essentially, the Long Island Expressway was kind of like my homing ground. I lived in Flushing in a house with my parents about a block away from the Long Island Expressway. I went to grammar school a few blocks away, also a block away from the Long Island Expressway. I went to high school on Francis Lewis Boulevard on Long Island Expressway. You can see it from the Long Island Expressway, from Bishop Riley. And I also went to Queens College, which is also right along the Long Island Expressway. So for those years of my life, I have to say that my life was centered around the freeway.
Wow, when you say along the Long Island Expressway, you are very literally mean along the Long Island Expressway. You're not talking about...
Oh, very truthful. Very truthful.
Yeah, not metaphoric at all.
No. No, not at all.
And so you were born in New York, a native New Yorker, and you something happened to you that happened to story, and you wait before that you went to school, you became a doctor, which was very difficult for you, and then what happened after that?
After I became a physician? Well,
yeah.
My life became, almost like a ping pong ball, not really, but since I did my residency at Los Angeles County USC Medical Center, I went to medical school at Tufts in Boston, but my residency and training was in Los Angeles. And I decided to stay there and practice there with one of my colleagues from residency. I lived in the San Fernando Valley, and I practiced in the San Fernando Valley. And at the time that I was there, I got the know-it-all as to, and I don't know it all, but a lot of musicians, famous musicians, and famous artists and actresses came to me for their obstetrical and gynecological needs. So it was since I didn't grow up in an acting community, it was quite interesting to deal with them on a gynecologic basis when, you know, they're
yeah.
they were talking about singing and dancing and acting and movies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So
that should be
and
interesting.
That's where and also that was where I met my boyfriend of 30 years in Los Angeles.
Wow.
The funny story is that I just finished my residency and I was going to a Halloween party with a girlfriend of mine, also a physician. And he was the only one that guessed my outfit. And my mother had sewn my outfit to look like a uterus. And and she even sewed pillows. She even sewed pillows under my armpits, and I was dropping tennis balls because I was ovulating.
Oh my
God! And everybody looked at me, and they couldn't figure out what I was, but he did.
Wow.
And so that started a relationship of on and off for 30 years. Not everything's golden, but that was I was attracted to that instantly.
Wow, that would be very difficult to guess. I guess he did deserve you to go out with a guess like that, definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, it looked like a uterus.
Well, I want to go back a little bit before you became a physician, because you had a difficult journey even going to school and all that. You had a lot of people try to discourage you, and I really want you to talk about that, because so many people want to do things and they get discouraged and they don't do it. So what happened when you decided that you wanted to be a physician? Did everybody welcome you and finance you and say, oh, what a great idea?
Well, I wanted to be a physician ever since I was like a very young little girl. Some of the TV shows were about physicians like Dr. Kildare, and I used to watch that, oh my God, all the time. And then a lot of the people that you meet as advisors in schools, even though I was excellent in science and math, would try to dissuade you from becoming a physician. And God knows, I don't know why, but they would say become a psychologist. And then a lot of the people that you interact with in schools, including colleges, they're very competitive. And, they would steal your books from you. They would go to the library in those days before the internet and tear out pages from the library books you were supposed to read. And they would try to get a better grade than you by going to the professor and asking for a favor. So,
wow.
Yeah, and basically in those days, and even these days, it was all based upon grades. And if your grades weren't good enough, you weren't going to get in.
Right.
So, you spent a lot of time with your nose in the books and laboratory and stuff like that.
So how did you feel when they told you, why don't you just do this instead, and why don't you do this instead? How did it make you feel?
I didn't listen.
Oh, you just kind of ignore them, and you said that's what you
yeah.
think, right?
Yeah,
that's
I
good.
Think, yeah,
I'm
thank
glad you,
you very
did that.
Much. Thank you very much, and I would walk out and say, to whatever friend was with me or whatever, I'd say, they don't get it.
thank God you did that, because, like I said, so many people get dissuaded. And this is basically what you say. You say that the message is that we may not always have the easy road in the life, but creativity and determination and not taking no for an answer can take you where you want to go. And that's basically the bottom line of what you're trying to say in the message in the book, or is it something else too?
Well, actually, I have T-shirts made with never take no for an answer. Selling at my book signings. It's a nice book T-shirt. And if you're interested, it's on my website.
Definitely. I can offer it to our listeners,
well, it's true.
Too. Would you be willing to ship it if somebody wants it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. I don't have an extra link for that, but we can work something out. I mean, for $5 or something, and I'd be happy to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Never take no for an answer. That is a great theme. I like that, especially when no means don't do what you want to do.
All right. Actually, I had a funny email from somebody who read about that, and he said, "Well, what happens if a girl says no to me?" That was a boy.
Just don't take no for an answer, but don't rape her, for God's sake.
Oh, well.
You see, people can take anything you say the wrong way. That is really interesting. But
Well, I just think he was trying to be humorous.
Of course. I understand that. But people can take things the wrong way anyway. And people can take things the right way. This day, everybody gets offended for everything you say, so you really can't pay attention to that. So,
oh, yes, you're correct.
Yeah. So you went to medical school. Did it take you longer than usual? Was the financial element a struggle? Did you get financial aid? How did you manage to get through it?
Well, this is an interesting story. I was the first student from Queens College that, I did get into Tufts Medical School. I was the first one. Actually, when I went from interview, the dean of the medical school said, "Oh, God, you read my, advisory letter from Queens College." He said, "I never saw that guy write such a nice letter about any student."
Wow.
How did you get it? And then I went to the financial aid advisor, and I can't believe it. She kind of said to me, "Well, you're too broke to go to this school." I said,
"Wow."
What? That's like, what? But she was going to go to Harvard MBA and Harvard business school. So, and over there, that means something. To me, it meant, I didn't understand. But anyway, so I said, "Well, really?" And I said, "Well, this is where I'm going. I really like the school, and I like being in Boston." And I had a different vibe about it. It wasn't like this, militaristic attitude. It was very warm but brilliant. And so I actually got a scholarship to medical school. And,
Wow.
Now, that's not, I don't think they do that very much today. But in those days, it still was very uncommon because, I got through the same person. It was the same person that told me to go away. And
wow.
To this day, I still, And to this day, I still go to the Christmas parties here in Manhattan, the Leopold Shep Foundation scholarship. Mm-hmm. They remember me from all these years ago, and I've always been very kind to me.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very important lesson here. They told me to go away, and if you would have went away, then your entire life would have been completely and totally different. It would not
Absolutely.
Have been. And you might have been miserable because you would not have been pursuing what you always wanted to do also. So
yeah. Or going to school that I was kind of like, I wasn't too, yes, it's going to be a physician, but some of them were really kind of bizarre. I write in my book about going to a school in Texas, I won't say where, for my med school interview, and they had a mariachi band in front of the school, dancing girls. And I was like, I couldn't understand too much. I'd never been out of New York and all that. But, with the horns, like that, and I was going to go in to try to get into medical school. I was kind of perplexed.
So what is your book about?
Well, basically, it's a motivational book. If you want to become a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, and to basically listen to yourself, listen to your heart. And a lot of people have difficulties on money levels, sometimes their families, sometimes with their bank accounts, sometimes with supposed colleagues. Even after you become a practitioner, there's colleagues that will try to make you look bad. And I truly believe that if you follow your heart and don't listen to these negative ideas, that, you know, you will succeed. And I'm saying, you know, that it's going to be fun all the time, and everybody's going to
not so fun all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but you also had moments of fun and satisfaction.
Oh yeah, well, I met lots of very nice people. The patients in Las Vegas where I was teaching there, there was a lot of like piercings and tattoos in various parts of their bodies, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I have a daughter like that.
Oh, yeah, you kind of.
I'm not happy about it, but yeah, that's not happy about it. But the harder I told her not to do it, the more she did. So I stopped talking, so she stopped getting more tattoos. Because every time she would get one, okay, that's it. You're not my daughter. I don't want to know. Next thing I know, she was growing and growing. I thought, oh, my God, if I don't shut up, her entire body is going to be covered. So I just shut my mouth.
Right. Well, that's how sometimes it goes. I guess she's not taking no for an answer, huh?
Yeah, and also the independent rebellion thing. Like, oh, my parents don't want me to do this. Well, I'm definitely going to do it.
Right. Well, you know. All I can say is I didn't grow up in that frame of mind, so no piercings or tattoos on me. But
me neither.
Yeah. And in LA, there were a lot of people that didn't care about a lot of things except for plastic surgery. And I had women that I just delivered their babies, and within 2 weeks, they already had new breast implants. Which
wow.
That's like, you know, it's too soon, you know. You have milk for 6 weeks. And
right.
You just kind of wonder what doctor would do that to these patients. But they did. They had them. So, LA was something else. It was very, I took a lot of the acting and you know, musicians and, you know, show business people.
Yes, I totally get it, because coming from New York, I got to L.A., and the first job I got was as a ghostwriter for Shirley MacLaine. You could imagine how I felt. It was like, wow, I'm living in the twilight zone. This could not be real. So life in L.A. is different. But I wanted to really ask you, you say something really profound here. You say, I always try to be the best doctor I could be. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, just because you go to medical school and do your residency, when you look around yourself, you know, you see people who were forced to do it because their parents told them to do it and they weren't happy. They didn't really care about their specialty. I knew someone who was the son of the biggest professor in our school, and he got into the school. And, you know, this guy was a professor of professors. He wrote all the books and everything. And his kid quit medical school. Like, oh, my God. And also, too, a lot of doctors, especially as they get older, they get sort of burnt out. And they kind of, you know, they don't listen to their patients. And somewhat now, because of the computer becoming an entity in between the patient and the physician, you kind of wonder what's going on. You know, sometimes patients become secondary after the computer. So, there's also physicians that are just, you know, brilliant and excellent and happy to learn new things and go to conferences and give lectures. But there's also a bunch that just kind of say, well, I'm doing this for the money. And that's, or because their parents tell them, and that's sort of... I'm sure it happens in every profession. But
absolutely, absolutely. No matter what you're going to be doing, doctors, lawyers, janitors, you're always going to have the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you're always going to have to decide which one is for you. But I think it's very interesting that you said that some people are there because the parents forced them, and they really didn't want to do it. I happen to have a really good friend whose parents didn't give her a choice, and they're Indian, and they forced her to go to India and get her medical education there. She really didn't want to, and she really was miserable. But what her parents told her is, being an Indian in the United States without being a doctor, nobody's going to respect you. You have no choice. So that was the way she was forced to do it. And now she's working in an emergency, in urgent care, not emergency, in urgent care. And it's very stressful because the work is not easy. You got to work from at least 10 to 15 hours a day. You have to stay in the clinic until the clinic closes and the last patient is seen. You have a huge liability. If you do something wrong, the patient can sue you very easily, and there's no way that you can defend yourself. That's just the way it is. And there's so many people that went to medical school and worked so hard, and then with one patient unhappy, they can never practice medicine again, which is really sad.
Or write them very big checks.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, they don't have to necessarily kill you, but especially here in the state of New York, we have one of the most awful medical malpractice environments. The rates of medical malpractice insurance are extremely high, and the feeling up in Albany is that they're going to take care of their lawyers who kind of give them nice Christmas gifts. So, you know what I mean.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of expect to lose, no matter how hard you're correct. And it's very hard. I mean, a lot of people just don't want to leave New York because they love it. But there are certain things that go along with it that other states don't copy. But, you know, why do you want to live in another part of the country if you're not associated with it?
Yeah. Not all states are exactly the same, but I do think they're all getting to be the same. I don't think there's going to be much difference within the next 10, 15 years of the state rules and regulation, because it's all going to be the same with the Obamacare thing. But that's another story for another day.
Right.
So right now something happened to you and you're not practicing. Are you retired or did something happen?
Yeah, I'm retired. I had an accident at work where I slipped and fell, and I hit my head. And although I'm trying to recover, it's not safe for me to take care of patients at all. Especially, you know, doing instrumentation. And there's a lot of other things that happen, you know, when you take medication it affects your brain. And
it
affects your motor skills and stuff. So I'm trying to deal with it in a safe way. And I'm still on the road to recovery and dealing with various government issues. So... right now, I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place. So it takes a long time to resolve these issues.
How long ago was it that you got hurt?
January 2013.
Oh, that's not that long ago. We're talking about barely 2 years. And I know how medication can really set you off. And I have to tell you, my brother got killed by experimental medications that weren't approved yet, but were used on him because he was in the hospital without permission, and he killed him. So medications can be lethal if it's not used properly.
Yes, and they don't always know. They give you too much, and I got extremely dizzy and fell and broke four ribs because I got too much medication.
Exactly.
So, it's not the way I thought that my career would course. But I feel that with this book, I can also be meaningful in many different ways.
Even within the medical profession, you could be helping people, guide them towards the correct medical route where they should go. There's so much you can do. There's so much you can do. But the first thing you really have to do is take care of your health, obviously.
Yes, yes. I'm doing the best I can. You know, what can I say? I'm trying. I'm trying very hard to undo what happened when I was it happened at work when I fell. So, you know, what can I say? And if what happened to me had happened on the street of Las Vegas, I may not be here. So, I guess the Lord up there wanted to keep me around for a while.
I guess there's still things that you have to do, a lot of things that you have to do, so you're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, thanks.
Thank
okay,
you, prophet,
more work.
Of my life. Yeah, so that sounds really good. So now you just wrote a book, which is great. You can definitely do that. If anybody wants to buy the book or if anybody wants to contact you, we're going to put a link to your book right under. If you listen to this on the internet, right under here on the introduction, you'll see the link also to the book. So you definitely can get a hold of that. But you also have book signing coming up that I saw. Do you want to tell us about it?
Oh, yes. I'm sort of having a launch party on Sunday here in Bay Ridge at the Red, White, and Brew Pub. It's Sunday between the 19th between 2 and 6 p.m. And we're going to provide a cheese. You can buy some wine at the bar. It's going to be a lower price. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be like a party. It's a very jovial place. And I hope to see, you know, a lot of people that I know and people that I don't know that I can meet. Yes, I'm on the book signing. And as a matter of fact, instead of the usual price for the book, I'm going to make it a $10 book.
Wow.
And we also have the $5 Don't Take No for an Answer t-shirts. So I never take no for an answer. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a new experience for me.
Great. So it's a lounge party. It's on Sunday the 19th. So if you happen to be in the New York area, it's located in Brooklyn at 8910 Fifth Avenue. That's in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. It can take a subway. You can drive. Good luck finding parking. It's called the Red, White, and Brew Lounge. And it is between 2 and 6. So we're really looking forward to seeing all of you over there. And I'm really looking forward, and I will try my best to be there also. And that way, maybe I can get that T-shirt right there on the spot.
they've been printed up and ready to go. Everybody's been printed
Wonderful.
Up and ready to go.
Wonderful. Wow. Time really flies when you're having fun, and I cannot believe that we have already talked for this long. I really, really am happy that you came. I've enjoyed talking to you a lot. I know everybody that will listen will enjoy it. I think it's a great idea to just go out and grab that book right now online, or you can always come to the party on Sunday to enjoy a lot of other people that are just have a fun day, have a fun afternoon on Sunday. Thank you again so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you would like to leave the listener with, last-minute wisdom?
No, I think that's it. I would appreciate meeting them in person. But if not, I you know, even on my website, I can communicate. And, communicate is the website is how to be the best doctor.com. And it gives you a little – gives you some information about me, like where I went to school, and it has a foreword from a friend of mine too. So it's kind of a happy place as well.
Wow, that sounds really great, and I'm really excited about it. I know you're going to be a big success. And once again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you on Sunday.
Great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And we have come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk on Books I Love. I want to thank everybody for listening. And I would like to invite you once again to join us on Sunday. It's been wonderful chatting with you, Milka, today, and thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening to Books I Love with me, if you feel this time, and my guest, Milka, for the other one to pronounce the last name wrong, it's Milka Forbarina. Very good name. We bid you a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion. My name is Milka. Once again, we have been talking about a book called My Life Along the Long Island Expressway by Milka Forbarina. Don't miss out. Go out and grab that book. And all of you listening, have a magical, amazing day.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.